Welcome to Conversations of the Heart. It's your boy T2. Good conversation today is going to happen. In a series that I have dubbed From Caretaking to Take Care. It's going to be about caretaking of a loved one. We had episode 1 last week. We're going to have episode 2 today. Today is going to be focused on preparing for sickness. On the business side of things and what you need to prepare for if you have a parent, loved one, who, you know, is getting older and, you know, so, and everything, what to do, you know, so I'm going to, at Death Free Joel, has been, with me on this series and, he's going to be with me now. So I'm just going to just tap in with him right quick and then we'll get this thing rolling.
See where my man is at right now.
Yes, sir.
All right.
How you feeling?
As Cube says, today is a good day.
I'm coming to you live from Maud's house. Coming to you live from that woman's house. So
let's do it. Yes, sir. Yes, and rest in peace to the great Maud. You know what I mean? Beautiful woman. You know what I mean? So definitely, conversation two, you know, of this particular series that we decided to do, you know, as black men, discussing what it's like to caretake for us, it's elderly parents. But it could be grandparents, you know, for other people, it could be a child. So everybody's situation is different, you know, but we're definitely going to focus on. This week, we're going to focus on, you know, just the administrative part of things, the business side of things. That's what we're going to focus on for the next 2 weeks. We're going to focus on the administrative part, you know, and also the part of what is it like to have these types of conversations and bringing up these conversations with the person. You know, it's like I said, everybody's different. You know, if you have a child, it's completely different. Right, that's going through this, and you're caretaking for the child. That's a completely different conversation because you are the adult.
Right,
right. But for us, you know, we are the children having these conversations with the adult, and that in itself could be a big, big challenge. But what we're going to go through today, you know, it's everything from setting up, you know, the healthcare proxy, the power of attorneys. We're going through the beneficiaries. We're going through name on the accounts, like understanding Medicaid, Medicare for your elderly person that's going through these things. But also, I've added one thing, and that's actually going through this, right? But also, what do you have in place for yourself?
Correct.
And that is something that we're going to go through as well. So, without further ado, we have the incredible at Death Free Joel. Well, you know, and for those of you who don't know, and by now I don't know if you don't know who this is, but he is a finance guru. He is a finance coach. He his main goal in life is to get everybody debt free because he is no debt. You know what I'm saying? And so, but we wanted to take the time out to talk about these things because these are things that plague our community, and these are tough conversations that we don't talk about in our community. So, Joel, I appreciate you for. Taking the time out to have this conversation. It was you. This time it was you.
Yes.
Got me.
Yes.
To do this.
Absolutely.
I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You know, but you this time have gotten me to do this conversation with you. So appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you for stopping in and doing this series with me.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the first step, the first thing that I guess that we can get into is having the conversation with an elderly parent before they're even sick, because that is the point of this whole thing.
Yes.
Is preparation. So you don't wait till the person gets sick to have this conversation, because at that point it's morbid. At that point, it's a problem. At that point, there's so many different things that can go left.
Yep.
So the point is to have this conversation with a grown adult who's birthed you, who has looked after you your whole life, and say, hey, we need to have a conversation about your health and what's going on. Now, for people with, you know, who have parents who are married, that is very different.
Yes.
It's a little easier to deal with, when two people are married, because they're their own healthcare proxy. It's completely different. But for those who have a widowed parent, or a single parent, or a widowed grandparent, this is for you.
Yeah.
And also, if you're a single person yourself, and by single, I mean, I don't mean girlfriend, I don't mean boyfriend, I don't mean I'm engaged. If you're not married,
yeah,
this is for you too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll start here. So having this conversation, now I know we probably have different stories, but what was this conversation like trying to talk to your mother or father about this particular situation, about how to prepare? Because the one thing that we do, and this is why we're having this conversation, so I want to preference this.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that we do, especially in this community, oh yeah, we're prepared for death. We have beneficiaries. I think I'm on an account. I think my mom has me on a beneficiary. I think my father got me on a beneficiary. I think I'm on something.
Right.
I might be on the 401k. I might be on a bank account. This is what happens.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Well, we'll get to that another day. But there's nothing that prepares you for sickness.
Correct. And it's the way it happens, right? So one of the things about talking with your parents, grandparents, guardians, whoever's in charge, whoever's birthed, whoever took care of you as they get older, one of the problems with it is that they have always been the ones to provide for you in the first place. There is nothing like a parent, okay? I don't have kids, you don't have kids, but we both understand there is nothing like a parent.
Right.
So having to give up the majority of your life for someone who then has to turn around and tell you what to do at the end of your life is absolutely insane when you really think about it. Now, my mother was different. Not only was she, you know, my mother, like she wasn't your friend, she wasn't your homie, she wasn't your pal, she was your mom, right? She was your mother. But on top of that, she was very independent. So she knew how to run her household a certain way when it came to her finances. Okay. My mother was very private about that type of stuff, but she ran it like an accountant. Okay. That's how she ran. She's still old school where she used to balance her checkbook.
Sorry, my mom.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's how they roll. My mother would call the bank and check what the balances are, that type of thing. Unfortunately though, I was always close to my mom when it came to the finances and, you know, certain specifics of the house, right? But you still don't have all the information at the time. So when she was diagnosed, one of the first things that I did, you know, we knew it was like stage 4 cancer, whatever it was. We knew the first thing that I did when I walked into this house was that every bill from now on runs through me. It's the first thing I told her. Okay. You could imagine the look on her face, right? It was like, almost, it was morbid. That probably was bigger shock than actually being diagnosed with cancer. But that's the first thing I told her. I said, from this point on, we do not know what's going to happen with your chemo. We don't know what's going to happen with your body. We don't know what's going to happen with your memory. We don't know. And this is before, like, really dementia and stuff started kicking in. So one of the first things that I did was I made sure to have a discussion with her politely that all your bills are running through me. You can pay me back at the end of the month. You're still responsible for your bills. So that's the number one thing for you folks to understand. If you're going to start taking care of your parents' finances, do not destroy their independence. They're still the boss, right? If you're doing this correctly, they're still the boss as it pertains to their bills. Your job is to help facilitate it, but it's still their money, it's still their bank accounts, still those assets. You treat that with respect. You're now the caregiver, quote unquote, of their assets. So when you have that conversation with them, you have to come as an adult. The other thing to consider is this. And I know it sounds messed up. If you're not good with money, you're probably not the one who should be handling this. And this is a real thing because your parents know you're not good with money, right? So if your parents know you're not good with money and now they're giving you their assets to handle, they're going to lose it. So you need to know what you're good at and what you're not good at. My mother had to learn how to trust me with her finances, and my stupid face is on here all the time. Okay. And she's trusted me with things all, you know, in terms of the house and all this kind of stuff. But when it came to having access to her social security, her credit cards, her debit cards, her PIN number for her bank account, her savings, her checking, all the bills of the house running through me. That is one of the toughest conversations you can have. But it's good to have it beforehand. So, and I'll let Terrence go from here. When you have a discussion with a parent before they get sick, you put the note in their head immediately saying, you need to think about your mortality, dad or mom, in case something happens. Because in case something happens, we need to have a plan in place. Unfortunately, we talk about this at the end of life, which means someone has maybe 6 to 7 months to go, right? Whatever it is. And that is way too stressful of a time to have a conversation about it. So if you can have those conversations, at least start them early, where you know where this information is, then I think it makes more sense to have those end-of-life conversations with your parent, and it makes it easier at the end.
Yeah, you know, I think doing this before they get sick, right, is essential. Because the problem is by the time they get sick, they don't want to hear nothing of what you got to say.
Right.
Like, it's morbid. It's, oh, so you expect me to go. Right? Like, it's different. But if you do it as a precautionary measure, right, the conversation could be a little bit different. Right? Because now it's like, okay, so nobody's sick right now, but here's where the pros and the cons go, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, why do I need a healthcare proxy, right? Like, you know, so before we get to the money part.
Correct.
Why do you need a healthcare proxy?
Right.
You need a healthcare proxy because the reality is if you have a single parent or a widowed parent, right, now if they go to the hospital and you're not a healthcare proxy, you're leaving the healthcare and decisions up to the hospital.
Correct.
This is reality. Okay? So we're going to get to the money. But when you get that initial bang, like, oh, something happens to my mom, my dad, my grandfather, my grandmother, oh, snap. Who is their healthcare proxy?
Correct. Yeah.
So that's the initial problem right there. And a lot of us are like, well, if I take her to the hospital, I could probably make, you know, I'm her grandchild, I'm her son, I'm her this, I'm her. Oh, we could just make decisions. No, you cannot make decisions.
Yeah.
They will do what they can and then tell you what they did afterwards.
Right.
This is reality. And if you want to leave the healthcare decisions up to the hospital, that's on you.
You have to make that decision, right? That
right.
discussion has to be had with that elder, right? So, and I just want to caveat something. I'll let you go.
Yeah.
Even if you have parents and both of them are alive, they should be each other's healthcare proxies, which means if your parents right now, if you don't know if they are or not, you should ask.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right? But the difference is it's when they're married, like when my dad was going through certain things and they were married.
That's right. The spouse usually has that.
It's legal. Right.
Yeah.
So like it's they're gonna go to they went to my mom. Hey, listen, this is what it is. What do you want to do?
Yeah, that's right.
Because they're legally married.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem comes when either they're single or widowed, and they're just out there, and you could take them to the hospital all you want. When they get to the hospital, are you the healthcare proxy? That's one of the first things that they're gonna ask you. No.
Yeah. So you can't do anything.
No problem. So we're gonna take it from here.
Correct.
Right? And that's daunting, especially for us people in the Black community, right? You know, because you want to be able to do the best that you can for you want to be able to make who's going to look out the best for your parent or for your grandparent is going to be you.
And think about what they're going to, you know, why are you doing the healthcare proxy? Does your mom or dad want a feeding tube? Right? Do they want that? Do they want end of life care, like in a certain way? Do they want like a breathing mask? Do they want to be on a breathing tube, for example? Do they want to, like, if they're in a coma or if they're completely brain dead, they're hooked up to a machine, and from that point on, they're not going to be feasible? Do they want that? You see, like, I knew certain things in advance with my mom, and even, you know, my father had the same type of mentality. They're not being hooked up to machines. Now, my father was different in terms of, like, he didn't want to be resuscitated, and that's, like, you know, signing a DNR, do not resuscitate. My mom, on the other hand, was like, well, you know, if they can, but then you have to explain it, you know, what happens, you know, when they try to resuscitate you, they can break your ribs. Like, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
But it's important to realize that, unfortunately, we all in our society are going to go through some tragic event where we get that phone call. Somebody's in an accident. Somebody got hit by a car. Somebody had a stroke. Somebody had a heart attack. We're all rushing to the hospital for some reason, and we're thinking about the worst possible outcome. So this is for everybody in general listening to this live, right? At the end of the day, the most important thing you can do is think about your own mortality and understand that having a healthcare proxy in your life, if you're not married, like Terrence articulated, if you're single, even if you're engaged, like, you should have a healthcare proxy just in case something happens to you, because guess what? We all know someone who went through this, where they get the phone call, the person's sick, they're running to the hospital, and you hear, yo, we don't know if they're going to make it or not. We've all been there. Like, literally all of us have been there. So if we know this is going to happen, why not get in front of it so you don't have the hospital telling you what they're going to do with your loved one?
Yeah, and the healthcare proxies don't cost money, really. I mean, you know, as far as, like, you have to get a power. I mean, you got to get somebody to notarize it, right, you know, and be a witness.
Yep.
But the one thing about the healthcare proxy is I believe that you can have two backups.
Yep.
Right? So you can have the main healthcare proxy and then two backups. So there's a chain of command. Okay, so if one person isn't available, we got two that we can call. So therefore,
mm-hmm,
therefore your loved one is taken care of.
Right.
That is huge.
Yeah.
And like I said, for a lot of people who are still single and you're 20, 30 years old, and people are dying and getting sick every day earlier in life, if you went to the hospital, you yourself, you watching this, who's young and, oh, this is for my parent, this is for my grandparent. No, this is for you. This part is for you. If you went to the hospital today, who's your healthcare proxy? Who is it?
Yeah.
Because I can guarantee it, for a lot of us, it's nobody.
Right.
It's not near one person. And you think that if you went to the hospital, your best friend can make decisions, your sister can make decisions, your brother can make decisions, your mama. They cannot.
Yeah.
If you're a grown adult and your parents is no longer over you, you can't. If you went to the hospital today, who's your healthcare proxy?
Yeah.
And these are the things that we don't talk about amongst ourselves.
Yeah, so think about it, right? Not only for yourself, which is incredibly important, right? Because we always think about our parents, but Terrence is absolutely right. It's actually you. Because if you don't do it right, what makes you think you can go to your parent to do it right? But let's just say, all right, you want to go to your parent and have that conversation, and they're the only ones that are alive, right? So there's no surviving spouse. You have to have that conversation, right? Unfortunately, for me, we never had that conversation with my mom until we did the will, right? End of life. No one wants to think about death. Healthcare proxy. What do you mean I need a healthcare proxy? I'm not dead yet, right? Stuff like that. These are the things that kind of go through these people's heads. So one of the things that is important is that you should ask your parent. You know, like, at the end of the day, if one is alive, right, what should you do? And here's what I would also say. This is what I wanted to get at. Even if both your parents are alive, in their wills, they can state, like, you know, the automatic healthcare proxy is going to be my spouse. In the event that my spouse is not around, I nominate this person. Right, you can plan that in advance, even if both your parents are alive. Because guess what? One car accident can really cause some headaches very quickly, right? So you want to make sure that you at least talk to your parents and say, look, if you have one parent alive, hey, do you have a healthcare proxy? If you have both of them alive, hey, you know, if you have a will and something was to happen, who would you want your healthcare proxy to be if right. your spouse wasn't alive? Again, tough conversation. Nobody wants to have it, but at least bring it up.
And even if you have two parents that are alive, they could be completely separated, divorced.
Exactly.
And single.
Yep.
So, and each of them, right, could just be living life, not thinking about whatever it is in life, and living, and you know, living separately, whatever the case is.
Yep, yep.
And but you yourself have two parents, so you know, it's very important that you at least have that healthcare proxy in place, so that at bare minimum, at bare bones, if they go to the hospital, now you are the person that can make the decisions on their behalf, and you don't leave it up to the hospital. And as we've seen, especially in the Black community, a lot of times we need to be our own advocates. Right. So that's something that is really huge that to me, this part was the first part that I really wanted to get out of the way and talk about first.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get the call, and it's like, okay, and then you're going to head to the hospital, and you're going to have to answer questions. Are you, who's their healthcare proxy? Are you?
Yeah, and you should know what the person would want, right? So right. Just because you're the healthcare proxy doesn't mean you know exactly what your mom wants at the end of her days if it gets to a point that she's incapacitated, mm-hmm. right? You should know that. Those are things you should know in advance. And if you know your parents and you have that conversation, it's a lot easier on your conscience to make those decisions at the end of the day, right? You may have a parent that says, fight for me to the bitter end. You may have a parent that says, don't even waste your time, right? If I got to go, I got to go. So you should have that conversation absolutely 100%. And I think that also ties into the financial aspect, which is the power of attorney aspect, which is, you know, right? If you think about the power of attorney, what you're basically doing is you're appointing someone to be able to handle your assets for you. Now, let's put this into perspective, right? A power of attorney basically says, I could, if you have a power of attorney of your parents' assets, let's say they're sick, you can go into their bank and control their accounts, right? You can control their assets. Now, there's laws against, you know, just wiping out your mom's account and crap like that.
Right.
But the level of trust that it takes to appoint someone specifically to take over your money is insane. The money you worked hard for, the money you've been stacking your whole life, the money that you went to hell and back to accumulate, you have now put in the hands of your child. Remember what I said in the beginning. Do not take away the independence of your parents in this process. That is their money. Now, they're appointing you, you know, as the end of life scenario to handle their assets if they can't. But please understand what they're doing. At that point, they're basically giving you the keys to the car. You are not to crash it. And it's a very big responsibility. Like, I remember when my mother made me the power of attorney on her assets. My mother's, again, she handled her own things. But she made sure that, all right, if something happens to me, Joel knows where everything is. He already started established that. So it's the same thing as the healthcare proxy. Healthcare proxy, if something happens to you or to your parents and you know, you don't want the hospital to get involved, you're the person that's in charge to find out what that process is. Power of attorney, if something happens with your parents and they're incapacitated and they can't handle it, they got to pay a mortgage, they have to pay all these things, well, appointing a power of attorney allows you to use their assets to facilitate those type of transactions.
Right. And again, I want to be very clear about this because I don't know if you've heard it, but I know I've heard this. If you're a beneficiary on an account, does not mean you have power of attorney to do anything.
Means nothing.
Because let me be clear.
Yes.
Also, if let's just say if you know they have to go into a facility, or let's just say that you know they have a union or they have social security, certain things, you cannot call these companies and say, hi, yeah, I want information on so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I'm sorry, are you a power of attorney? No. Click. God bless.
Right.
Just right. Because you're a beneficiary on an account, it does not mean that you can do business on behalf of your parent or grandparent.
Well, let's get even more specific. What does beneficiary mean in the English language, right? You benefit from something, right? The root word is benefit, which means you're the one who benefits if something happens to the person, right? So if I'm the beneficiary on my mother's account for her bank, that if something in the event happens to her, I benefit from that. Therefore, I'm in control of the assets. But I cannot call Bank of America while she's alive and talk to them on behalf of her account. No, 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 no. Beneficiary is what you list on your 401ks, on your bank accounts, those type of things, where if something were to happen to you, those assets would go to the person you have appointed. Your power of attorney, right, would mean that no matter what asset it is, you have control over it at that point, right? Legally, those assets that still have beneficiaries will still go to those people in the event of your parent dying or whatever it is. But power of attorney, while that person's still alive, means you control everything. And that's completely different. That is a very highly sensitive topic for a parent to understand. Think about this. Who would you appoint right now if you had to appoint someone as power of attorney over your assets? Mm-hmm. Right? Let that sink in for everybody watching. If someone had to be in charge of your assets, who would that person be? Yep. Look how, now, the way this is making you feel sick, times it by 10 when it's a parent looking at a child saying it.
Right.
Because you've been the parent who's been providing for that child, and now you're putting them in charge of all your assets.
But also, the one thing I'll say about that, that's very true. But also for the parents out there, suck it up. Buttercup, because guess what?
It's coming.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Because guess what? It's either your kids or whoever you choose to appoint, or the government going to take it over.
Correct.
And if it's the government, God bless. So you got to understand your choices in life. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, it's not comfortable. It sucks. It makes you sick. But at the same time, you want the government to take this over? Because if there's nobody looking over your estate, if there's nobody looking over your accounts, if there's no, at some point, the government will come in and go, oh, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, that's it.
It's me.
Yeah.
And then and that's it. But the one thing I do want to point out is, yes, what my brother said in the comments is it's very true. A lot of the banks, it's very, it goes back to what we first talked about. It's very important that you have these conversations before they get sick.
Right.
Because then at that point, you can go and get the power of attorney. And a lot of times you can go to the bank. But with the banks, now, if they already sick, passed on, whatever the case is, and now you pop in, hey, I'm power of attorney, the bank's like, look, they're looking at you a little sus.
That has nothing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So a lot of times the banks have their own power of attorney paperwork.
Right.
So you have the power of attorney here. Say, hey, have your person bring you into, have your mom, your dad, your grandfather, whatever, bring you into the bank. This is who my power of attorney is. Is there any power of attorney paperwork that you have at the bank that I need to fill out?
Yeah.
Because it can become a problem.
Yeah, if something were to happen. So think about a power of attorney as something you want to use while the person's alive, right? That's probably the most beneficial way of doing it, is that the person's alive, whether incapacitated or whatever, you have a power over their assets, right? You have the power over their accounts. You have the power over, you know, the house and the certain things you have, like, real power over. So you want to make sure you're doing that while they're alive. But you have to understand, you have to look at it from both aspects, both life and, unfortunately, death.
Mm-hmm.
The person dies, and we'll talk about that when we talk about wills and trusts, but, like, when the person dies, those assets freeze. They freeze overnight. Like, I don't know how many people understand that. Like, I caught it the rude way. One day I woke up and got an email from Bank of America that said, your balance is now zero. I don't have Bank of America, but my mother did, right? Because all her emails, everything went through me. So I was basically using her account, moving money, this, that, and third. And one day I wake up and there's no money in the account. I call Bank of America. They say, yes, we got the death certificate. Your mom's assets is now frozen until XYZ. And that's why it's important to have a beneficiary. And we'll talk about that. But having a beneficiary allows me to say, no, I'm on the account. So right. I'll tell you guys a story. I called the bank and I say, I'm on the account. They go, no, sir, you're not on the account. Remember, this is debt-free Joel, right? No, sir, you're not on the account. I said, fuck you, me, I'm not on the account. I look at I got the mail. Like, the mail has both of our names on there. What are you talking about? And the lady goes, she goes and talks. Like, 10 minutes later, she comes back, you know, on the phone. She goes, my apologies. You're not on the account, but you're the beneficiary. What's your address so we can send you the check? See the difference? If I'm on the account, I have a bank account. I have the credit card. I have to claim it as part of my assets. I have to claim the interest that I earn as part of my taxes. Mm-hmm. When you're the beneficiary, you benefit from someone, something happening, which means my mother, long time ago, we discussed this, may be the beneficiary on the account, which means if anything happens to her, those assets now will be, the accounts will close, the check will be written to me, and then I can take those assets while her estate is being worked out and do whatever I need to do.
Right. And so that's something that we definitely wanted to just clear up, because a lot of people feel because they're beneficiaries that they can make moves. And, you know, I mean, like you said, after death or whatever the case is, beneficiaries and things, checks can be cut to you. So it's still important that you have beneficiaries on the account. But that doesn't mean you got any power to do anything with the account while they're alive. Right. So that's something that I wanted to point out, because sometimes I've been hearing a lot, oh, I'm a beneficiary, I'm good. And I'm like, that's false.
That doesn't mean anything. That means absolutely not. Here's something else to consider. I'm not sure if you're going to cover this on this live or the next one. Funeral expenses. You want to do it on this one?
That was going to be episode 3.
Okay, cool. One thing I would say in general is that it's very important to the beneficiary. So let's say, for example, your mom has $1 million in her account. Okay? Million. She's a millionaire. Easy, light work, right? She did everything. She was debt free. And the funeral expense comes. Just so you understand, just because you're the beneficiary on her account does not mean you have access to those funds immediately, which means you still have to come up with $20,000 for her funeral. Now, I use this exaggerated example to prove a point. It doesn't matter what the person's assets are at the end. Once it's frozen, until they cut you the check, you ain't got no money. So on episode 3, we'll talk about like the intricacies and what you have to consider for a funeral. But that type of mentality, just because you're the beneficiary on an account, on a bank account, doesn't mean you have access to those funds immediately. What it means is that it has to go through the bank. Remember, the bank is giving you money. They'll take your money overnight, but they'll take 3 to 5 days to give you back the money, right?
Right.
It's always harder for them to give you the money. So you have to sign paperwork. I had to sign paperwork, send a copy of the death certificate, all this type of stuff to Bank of America so they can send it back. But Terrence is 100% right. Just because you are the beneficiary does not mean you can walk into the bank, you can walk into a financial institution, you can walk into wherever his or her assets are and say that you're in control. No, you're not.
And that's where, to me, the power of attorney comes in. And they'll also, if you don't have a power of attorney for some reason, at bare bones, get your name on that account.
Yes.
Get your name on that account, because now you have access to everything that you need for that particular account.
Remember,
you know what I'm saying?
Remember, too, if you put your name on an account, you have taxes on that account now, because those are your assets, right? So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like it's a gift and a curse, right? If it's just a bank account, then whatever. But it's important.
If there's interest on that account.
Yeah, well, right? I'm assuming. I'm hoping, right? We're all assuming we're making money on money, right? So,
well, some of those old accounts, they may not have been. It could be a checking account, a little savings account that may not be accruing 100%. Interest.
Yeah, 100%. But those are assets that are now in your name, right? So when you file your taxes and you have to show what interest you earned, though that's part of your assets. Whatever that works out from a tax perspective, I have no idea. But I guarantee you that the federal government is going to come for their portion of that check.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And so, you know, but that's where, you know, so we just wanted to highlight the portion of healthcare proxy. power of attorney, beneficiaries, putting your name on these on these accounts so that you can have full control if your parent needs you to be in control.
Correct.
And this is just my opinion. I'm not saying it's Joel's opinion, but my opinion is it's better for you to take care of your parents' affairs than the government. If you feel it's better for the government, God bless. For me, I figure it should be you.
Well, it should be
right
beforehand.
And the one thing is to understand, because most people when they get older, it's Medicare and Medicaid.
Right.
Right. And it's to understand what Medicaid is too. Right. And how that works within the financial part of it, and the reason why it's important to have these conversations early.
Yes.
Right? Because I think it's Medicaid looks within 5 years, right? 5 years of your parents or grandparents' financial business.
Yeah.
Right? What have they been pulling out? What's been going on? Right? And that's going to depend on the kind of care that they're going to get. Right. Correct. Approvals and certain things, right? There's a lot of reasons why you should have this conversation before they get sick. I don't care if they're 50, yeah. 55. Have it as early as possible, because what happens is your parents get sick, all hell breaks loose, and you're trying to, you know, you got Medicare, you got Medicaid, you got a bunch of stuff going on. What are they approved for? Right. Yeah. What are they approved for? What are they not approved
for?
Yeah. These are things. Right. Of course, it's all about what they have. Right. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to the estate part in episode 3. But that all applies. That all mixes in. Right. With how Medicare or Medicaid approves certain things. Right.
Yeah.
And also when it comes to, oh, I need to put my parent in a rehab facility. Do you have power of attorney?
Correct. And think about
to this. To do these things?
Yeah. So think about it this way, right? So you have Medicare and you have Medicaid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Medicare is for everybody that's over 65, right? That's the usual ones that they do. And there's like four parts to it. Part A is going to be inpatient care. So think about hospital visits, right? And stays.
Yep.
Part B is your doctor visits, right? That's the rehab, for example. Things that you can just go there and come back and see the doctor and you're fine. Part C is what Maud had, which is what typically a lot of people do, which you have to pay a little bit more for, but it's Medicare Advantage. It's basically Part A, Part B, Part D. Everything's combined with a few other perks to get you through it. Prescription drugs, everything that comes with it. It makes life a lot easier, but you got to pay, you know, a certain amount. And then Part D is just for the drugs if you have just traditional Medicare, okay? So when my mother was doing this, I called AARP and was like, what the hell does my mother have? And, mm-hmm. you know, she was right there when I was doing it. And the lady walked me through it and said, this is what your mother has. This is the enrollment period. She doesn't have to sign anything. It's automatically enrolled for her every single year. This is what the premiums are, et cetera, et cetera. The chemo treatment was covered by Medicare. It doesn't mean that it was completely covered, and we'll get to this because I want to make sure I make a point about this. But it was part of it was covered, right? Now Medicaid is different. Medicaid is basically almost like the same thing, except it's for lower income individual people in bad mm-hmm. financial means. Why is that one so important? It's because when someone's going to need to go to a nursing home, you want to pray that they're on Medicaid. Because anybody who's ever put a price on how much it is for a nursing home understands you will go broke. You will go broke. It is the worst thing. You're talking, I don't know, $120,000 a year, right? For
out of pocket.
Out of pocket, right? So Medicaid can cover that. If you, like, there has certain plans, or not plans, but, like, certain benefits that you have to be able to cover that part of the process. Most people don't qualify for Medicaid. They qualify for Medicare. So Medicare will allow you to have the in-home hospice. They'll allow you to have those type of things. But they're not paying for a nursing home. That's going to come out of your pocket. And if folks are not prepared for that, it can get really daunting. People put a mortgage on the house, they put the house up as collateral, they lose the house, it can become an effing nightmare.
A big nightmare, and that's the part that's really daunting for a lot of us, is because this could be $120,000 a year.
Yeah.
Like, how many of us are making $120,000 a year?
Yeah, and if you can't,
and some of us have, it's not, some people have kids. They have two kids. They got three kids. They got a bunch of different things going, tuition, all types of stuff, right? But your parent needs to be in a place that costs $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Right.
This is where
now we'll get into that next episode, but estate planning and a lot of just different things, to help, to kind of, you got to know sometimes for us, we got to know how to play the game with certain things, with estate planning certain things, because other types of people have been doing this for years. Yeah. Where they have their money in estates, it's not in their account, and they're getting the best of care.
Correct, because on paper, they look broke.
They look really broke.
Yeah.
Right? But we'll get into that. So somebody said, Jay said, how do I not pay state taxes with what? Like, what do you mean? Like, with,
I have
no, you gotta be a little,
there's no such thing.
You gotta be a little bit more specific.
No.
Answer
the question directly. There is no such thing as not paying taxes. Do not let,
unless you live in a place that doesn't have state taxes.
There's no, not, well, yeah, I mean, if you want to go to a state.
State taxes. He says specifically state taxes.
Yeah, if it's state, then you got to go to a state that doesn't have taxes. But there's two things that are guaranteed in life, death and taxes.
Yeah, you always pay federal state taxes. I mean,
and also, you, please understand something. Just because you don't pay state taxes doesn't mean they have another way to follow it through you. Right? Yeah. So your brother put Texas or Vegas, for example, right? They don't pay state taxes. Well,
Florida.
Florida. They don't pay state taxes. Well, they're going to get their money from you one way or another. So they may raise the property tax. They may raise the sales tax. They may raise other things on you so that it feels good not to pay state taxes, but you're going to be paying it somewhere else. They're going to get the money from you one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, that's the one thing that, that we want to get, out of this conversation, is setting yourself up in preparation for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And sickness is one of them, because we prepare a lot, for death. We have a whole bunch of different things, I got a will, or I have beneficiaries, or I got whatever it is. But we never prepare for sickness. That is one thing that we don't talk about at all in our community, is how do we prepare for sickness. And this is how you prepare for sickness, even for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, start getting your healthcare proxies in place. This is what I want to, this is really what I want to say. Just get your healthcare proxies in place. Bare minimum, bare bones, at least have a healthcare proxy in place. And have a backup.
Yeah, and there's something that I wanted to mention that's important. I mentioned to you guys during the Medicare process, my mother had Medicare Part C's, Medicare Advantage. I had basically everything covered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we didn't have to pay anything for hospice, but we damn sure had to pay for those, at least payments, co-payments, whatever the hell it was, for the doctor visits, and we had to pay for the chemo treatment. One of the reasons that it's so painful at the end is not just that you're losing a parent, right? It's the financial burden that comes with it. The bills add up for a family.
Mm.
And it's really tough. One of the reasons why we preach about being good on your finances is that you're able to help your parent in that end without it being such a huge financial burden. Here's something that, is just the truth. Not only was I debt-free right now, my mother was debt-free as well. So I was able, and I was blessed, and I was lucky enough to become debt free and then turn around and help her become debt free. The reason why that is important is because when those bills came, that was not the concern. Right? 300, $350, $375 for chemo treatments every 2-3 weeks, that bill would come and then we get paid. No questions, no. My mother didn't even look at the account. She just knew it was paid. That peace of mind is priceless. Now, not everybody is able to do that. We got lucky being able to do that. We were able to put ourselves in certain positions to do that. But this is why you need to get your money right. Because maybe your parents can't, but you can. Right? Maybe you can free up some cash so that you can help your parents towards the end so that it's not a financial burden for them, that you can take that hit and it doesn't mess up your day. Because what you hear about a lot with medical bills, people having hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical bills because they have to pay for a mortgage, they have to pay for this, that, and the third. If I had to manage my mother's account, right, and a mortgage, and her credit cards, and all these type of things, and then the top of that medical bills, and then on top of that, the lawyer fees for, you know, doing the will and all this kind of, it would have been an extreme a lot if I wasn't in a position to do it. Now, I was in a pretty good position, so was my mother. So that burden of financial aspect wasn't as intense, but you see it every day, right, with people going through this. So just a reminder to everyone, your financial stability in these situations is incredibly important because you can absorb some of the hit that your parents are going through. If, let's say for some reason your parent is still working at 65 because they can't retire because they got to pay a mortgage, they got to pay for the car, they got to pay for student loans that they took out in your name or to help you. And then something happens, they can't work no more. Who's going to pay the bills? Right? These are things we don't think about. We just think about ourselves. We don't think about, like, if something were to happen, can you assist people? Can you help the people you love around you? So just take that into account, man. I can tell you from firsthand, there's nothing. That peace of mind was the best thing because my mother always brings up money. So the fact that she didn't have to and everything was always paid, she died with no medical debt, nothing.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed you said, you didn't say get your money up. You said get your money right.
Yeah.
And that's two different things, you know, because most people are like, oh, of course, it's easy for you to say get your money up, you know what I mean? But no, but you said get your money right, because you could be making a good up, because you could be making a good salary, but it doesn't mean your money's right. So understood, you know, understand what you was trying to say. So definitely appreciate that insight. And check their life insurance policies too. You know, like, that's the one thing I know, I think for me, like, when I looked at my, you know, I think when my brother looked at my mother's policy, it was, something was really off with that. You know what I'm saying? Something was completely wrong with it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people sign things and people look over things and you don't see these policies for 40 years. Right. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? They signed it when it was 20, 25, 30, whatever the case is, and then they're 73 and you're looking at it like, wait, this is your policy? Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's like going over these things with them, you know what I'm saying, and really kind of just assessing their whole picture of, you know, of what they really have and what they could, they might think they have something. And then it's like, oh wait, but I thought I did, but it really is not that, you know what I'm saying? So if you have more of, you know, knowledge in certain things in certain arenas and life insurance, and you can read the policy and see, like, make sure that it's what they have, what they're supposed to have.
Correct.
That's something that's super important too. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and there are certain states, you know, the one thing I will say, like, you know, like being, you know, if you're a caretaker in certain, being a caretaker in certain states, a lot of times you look at the laws, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because in certain states, they can come after you, like certain places, like facilities can't come after you for liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
No, even if you didn't sign it over, like, they can still come after you because you're next to kin.
Yep.
Some states have it that way. Some states don't. Depends on what state you're in. I don't, New York doesn't have it that way, but I think Atlanta, Georgia does.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So just look at the laws, pay attention to certain things, like when you're the next of kin, to see what can possibly happen to you being a caretaker. So you can have a full knowledge of what you're getting into in the state that you're in, because that's a real thing.
I would take it even a step further. You see how confusing all these terms are for a lot of people watching and just in general, right? It's not like I knew this overnight. I had to learn it the same way. What do you think your parents think? Like Terrence said something very important. Your parents may think they have life insurance and they don't. Or they think that they bought life insurance for somebody and they don't. The fact is that when it comes to finances, when it comes to policies like that, they're incredibly complicated. So who knows what the hell they signed years ago? Who knows? Right? You don't know. Maybe they signed, they thought they signed. I'll give you an example. So for example, some jobs take life insurance policies on you, the employer or the employee, right? Who knows how that works out? Maybe your parents think, oh, that's my life insurance. Lady, I don't know if that's actually what it is. It's important to really talk those things through and to really understand your parents' finances. But it comes back to the same thing again. You are not, under any circumstances, the boss. You're not. That woman was. I'm not. And the reason why is because that's her assets. That's her house. That's her bank account. That's her information. That's her social security. That's her date of birth. That's her credit card. That's her PIN number. Who the hell are you to tell that person what to do? So before you have this conversation with your parents and you go upstairs running and freaking out, trying to tell your parents they need all this type of crap, remember your role. Remember who you are. You are still their child. So you have to have a certain level of respect when you have these conversations, because you want to alienate your parents, piss them off talking about their death. You'll never hear from them again. And trust me, when they die, they're not going to think about you anyway because they're not here. Right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing to talk about. Like, they're gone. So you really need to make sure that you establish a level of communication, a level of understanding, and these are going to be several conversations. Because the first thing they're going to ask you is, why are you talking to me about death? I'm not sick. And you're going to have to tell them, look, you're not sick. But how many people did you know that said they weren't sick until they were and then they died? Right?
Yeah.
It's a very morbid conversation, man.
Very. Yes. And just as my brother put in the comments, they are called falal states. So if you want to know if you live in a falal state, just Google it, figure it out, and you'll know everything that you need to know about your responsibilities or what could happen to you as a caretaker or as next of kin. You know, and the one thing is especially when, and I just, this is a sidebar, so just bear with me. When you have a parent in a rehab facility or in a hospital or whatever, just make sure you're always on the medicines, what they're giving them.
Yep.
Because they could be overdosing them. I'm not saying on purpose, but they could be overdosing them with certain things and certain things don't mix. Just make sure that everything, that get their full medicine chart and see what they're taking and what's the dosage, because sometimes you'll find that, oh snap, they're taking 500 milligrams of this and they're supposed to be on 50.
Yep.
Right? Like, just please just make sure of those things. I just want to put that out there, because certain things, you know, I've experienced certain things and my brother's experienced certain things where it's like that affects your parents as well, like their health, their well-being and all of these things. So like, just make sure that you're on all of those things, right? So when it comes to having this conversation, there's lots of different types of parents. There's some parents that's really cool as a fan, you know, okay, word, okay, so I think we can do this, yeah, all right, no problem, yeah. Then there's a lot of us come from black households. Parents don't really want nothing to do with it. I know for a fact, my dad was like, he probably would have done whatever it is that we told him to do.
Yeah.
He was like that. All right, you think it's good? Cool. Mama, she wasn't about that life. No. You know what I'm saying? She wasn't about that life. But also, because she wasn't about that life, it caused us a lot of problems.
Right.
Lots of problems. And we came respectfully, you know, we came with the conversation, multiple conversations, and honestly, a lot of that stuff just didn't work. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just certain things that she just wasn't about, like, you know what I'm saying? And that, but, you know, but also, my mom was sick for a longer period of time, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, there wasn't ever a period, I think, within the last 15 years where something wasn't wrong, you know what I'm saying? So, it was never a good time, right? But if you're blessed to have a parent who's not sick, you know what I'm saying, like, or don't have any ailments, have a conversation conversation with them.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because that could save you and them a lot of problems. Because as much as they think it's like, hey, listen, you know, it's affecting you and you're going to be, you know, having the power of attorney and taking care of things. But also, it affects their care.
Yep.
It affects their care because it can reach a point to where as much as you try to do, if they fight it, they don't want it. A lot of it, you don't have control over at that point.
Yeah.
A lot of it is on them and their responsibility to agree to certain things. You know what I'm saying? If you have people in your life who just don't feel no way about it, but at least bring the conversation to them. You know what I'm saying? So you don't feel guilty about if things go left. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't have that conversation with them. There are certain parents who just thick-headed to a fault. You know what I'm saying? And you can't move them.
No.
But they'll understand it when it affects their health and their care.
And
that's the biggest thing.
Look, sometimes you got to plant the seed without seeing the tree grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sometimes you got to do that. If you don't get through to your parent, you keep trying, but you do it respectfully. And sometimes you got to approach it from different perspectives, right? So someone who's extremely hard-headed and is like, I don't want to talk about this, like, da, 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 I'm going to be fine, I'm not sick. You got to explain to them, you know, find someone that they know who died. That was a mess. And say, you see what happened to that person? Do you want that to happen to you? Oh, that's not going to happen to me. The way you're set up right now, it'll happen exactly the same way. And you go one by one. And maybe you're not going to get everything. But maybe you get, you know what, let's just get a will. I'll pay for it. I'll pay for the will, Mom. Let's just go for the will. You appoint whoever's the executor. And then we'll figure. And then as you're talking, then you have a third party in the room. Right? Mm-hmm. Go to an attorney. Don't just do it online. If a person's stubborn, right? The person's not, maybe you could do it online. But the person's stubborn, you take them to a third party who can explain the process. Now it's not my dumbass kid who's been driving me nuts for 40 years. It's another adult in the room who can explain what's going on. And you shut the hell up, right? Don't sit there and say, I told you so. Shut up. Just shut up. This is not about you at this point. This is about doing the best that's for your parents. And in the long run, the best that's for you, right? So there's ways to combat even the most hard-headed people, but you have to just keep trying and keep trying. And then if you have siblings, you try to have that communication with them and try to do the best that you can. But this is not about you. This is about the best for them. That's why I say, I'm going to keep saying it again. This is not your money. This is not your assets. This is not your estate. You cannot walk in that room and start telling them what to do. That is the first and easiest way to blow up this conversation. Slowly but surely, have those conversations. Build trust with your parents. Build a certain level of rapport. Let them look at you like an adult. One of the best moments I've ever had was one of the most frustrating moments I've ever had my mother. When she looked me in my face, we was in the living room, and she was just like in a daze. Like I think she was just like, my God, I'm really effing dying. This is crazy. And I was like, Ma, you know, I really hope you trust me with all this stuff. And she didn't even look at me. She was just like, yeah, don't worry about it. You always trust her. Don't worry about it. Like, she kind of, it was so left for her to even consider that it wasn't a big deal, which meant I was doing my job. Right. You know what I'm saying? I didn't give her any reason to consider anything else happening wrong. That is what you want. Because think about it. I'm gonna keep saying it to everybody. Terrence, every single person here, who would you want managing your affairs? Who would you really trust?
Mm-hmm.
That list is extremely small. Right? It's extremely small. And guess what? Some of you who are parents, your kids ain't one of them. Mm-hmm. your kids are not one of them. You're looking at your kids right now like, oh, this guy, oh my God. There's no way I can put him in charge. Right? And now this kid's the one that's going to come in the door and start talking to you about money? No. No, 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 no. So you have to have those conversations, man. But do it with respect.
Do it with respect and just start small. Like, you can start with the healthcare proxy, my favorite. Start with the healthcare proxy. because that in itself can start breaking the ice for other things, right? You know what I'm saying? But the healthcare proxy is something that's easy. It doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take anything. You could drop the paperwork yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, go on a government website, fill it out, and then you could get it notarized, and you have it. You know what I'm saying? That could break the ice for other things. But you don't want the government, you don't want the hospital making decisions on your parents' behalf, and you right there sitting here like, you're there.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally at the hospital, you're there, and you can't make any decisions because you don't have the proper paperwork in place. That's problematic. Now, if you wasn't there, that's different, but if you're there, you should be the one to make these decisions on your parents' behalf or on your grandparents' behalf, whoever it is, you know what I'm saying, to get these things done because you have their best interest at heart.
Well,
hospitals are
business. I'll take it a step further, right? I'll summarize what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom goes to the hospital, she's a patient. When you see your mom in the hospital, she's your mom. No one's going to love your mom in that hospital
like you
more than you.
Nobody.
It's that simple.
Nobody.
So you want to make sure that you see those crazy scenes of people in the hospital flipping out. These people, a lot of time nothing's prepared. It's a high emotional environment. If you had that discussion with your parents before that, you walk in, you're sad, you're crying, but you hear your parent telling you what to do in that situation on their behalf. It is now your job to make sure that that's actually done. Again, this is not about you. Caretaking has nothing to do with you in terms of your preferences. You have to protect your peace, right? You got to make sure you don't carry the enormous amount of weight on your shoulder that it breaks you, because if it breaks you, it's going to break them. But it's not about
mm-hmm.
your preferences. It's about doing. It's about someone trusting you enough that you are now in charge of that person's life. So it's not about you. It's about them.
Right. And like I said, this conversation is geared towards, you know, taking care of a parent. But I want to highlight again, who is your healthcare proxy?
Right.
If you're not married, if you're single out here in these streets, or whatever it is, you know, if you're widowed, if you're divorced, yeah, whatever your situation, if you're single by yourself, who is your healthcare proxy? If you go to the hospital tomorrow, who is your healthcare proxy? On paper. Yeah. Don't say it's your best friend. Don't say, oh, it's my girlfriend, my boyfriend. If it's not on paper, notarized for the hospital to see, who is your healthcare proxy?
Yep.
Because these are things that we have to think about as, you know, I guess young, you know, 20s, 30s, you know, you're entering your 40s, whatever case. If you're single, who is your healthcare proxy? If you went to the hospital, do you want the hospital to make the decisions, or do you want to appoint somebody to make the decisions for you?
Yeah.
Now, we sitting here talking about grandparents and older folks, but listen, people are dying and getting sick early. This is a fact. People dying off early, all types of cancer, this, that, all types of heart attacks. This is reality.
Yep.
30s and 40s. This is the truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you think about it, when people had, you know, God bless, they had COVID when they were young. You know, young people had COVID. They was passing from COVID.
Oh.
From COVID, not just older people, young people passing from COVID. Who is the healthcare proxy? I don't know. I don't have the answers. But what I'm telling you is, I know a lot of people my age who don't have healthcare proxies.
Right.
If they go to the hospital tomorrow, it's hey, doctor gonna make all the decisions for me, and whoever is sitting there is gonna have to take the information that they give me.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. Please listen to what this man just said. We just came from that bullshit two and a half, three years ago. Motherfuckers were confusing my language. People were dying left and right. We didn't know what the hell was going on. Parents dying. kids dying, grandparents wrapped, every aunts, uncles, friends, dead, people dropping dead. Think about how these people dealt with all those situations and they weren't prepared. And then you're doing it in the middle of a crisis. They can't pay for the funeral. They don't know where the body is. They don't know this. They don't know that. Nobody's the healthcare proxy. God forbid you can go to the hospital. The person has a breathing tube down their throat. Who knows if that's what the person would have wanted. There's religious aspects to this too, right? Maybe the person doesn't want to be on certain things because they think it prevents them from their natural end of life. These are all things that are important. And I think as a society, unfortunately, we have a short-term memory, right? We remember, you know, what we did now, maybe yesterday, but the more you extrapolate it out in history, we tend to, the further we move away from an event, the less it affects us, right? You don't see us with masks. I come to your house, I'm sitting there minding my damn business, right? 2 years ago, we would have probably punched each other in the face getting that close because we don't know what the hell is happening, right? So we tend to forget how far removed we are from those situations, but every one of those people who were passing away, they didn't have wills, they didn't have healthcare proxies, no power of attorneys, everything was done online, there's no, people don't got printers at home, there's no scanners, there's no paperwork. One day the person goes to the hospital, the person is there, you don't have any documentation for the bank account, you don't have their PIN number. Nightmare. Absolute nightmare. So at a minimum, if it's you, if you're talking to your parents, whatever the case is, understand that we're all going to get to that point eventually. That's what that woman told me. You know what I mean? Like, that's what she showed me. That's what she told me. That's what I saw in real time. Because I saw her young pictures. Trust me. I saw it real time. You know? And I know for her, it was like, wow, this is actually happening now. So if it happened to her, it could happen to us. We lost people that we knew in high school, correct?
Unfortunately.
Shout out.
Unfortunately.
Shout out to Destiny. I thought about her the other day. Shout out to Destiny.
Yeah. Yep. Right? It was unfortunate. That was unfortunate.
Right? Her parents didn't care to do what they had to do. But that tells you.
And that tells you everything that you need to know. Sickness is not just for older folks. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's something that I've always just wanted to just put out there because we tend to think it's just grandparents, parents, you know, people. Nah, if anything taught you last 2 years, sickness is everybody.
Yeah.
Young adults dying from COVID. Grown adults dying from COVID. Of course, including the older folks too. But like, there's young people dying from COVID who are in athletes dying from COVID.
Yeah.
Who are in perfect health, who went to the gym every single day, died from COVID. And this is not a fear thing. This is a preparation thing.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing, we're not pumping fear. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a separate subject. But we just want you guys, our community especially, to be prepared for things that could happen, whether you're young, middle-aged, older. Like, we just want you guys to be prepared for all of it. You know what I'm saying? And that you get the best care for yourself.
Yeah.
Even if you're 30, 40, whatever it is, that you get the best care for yourself, especially if you're single. If you're married, it's much easier, but for a lot of people who are single, you know what I'm saying? And again, I want to preference by single. I mean, you can have a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a fiance. You're still single, legally.
Legally, yes.
And that's what I mean, legally. Yeah. I don't mean you're single. You can go out here and do what you do. I'm still single. I just legally, you single.
Yeah.
And even if you have a fiance, and she's not, he or she is not it's not your healthcare proxy. You go to the hospital, well, is this person your healthcare boss? No, it's my fiance.
Have a seat.
Sit down, and we'll let you know what we do next.
Yeah.
That's the reality. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's the reality that I just really want to give people, is to get your paperwork in order. It don't cost nothing to get a healthcare proxy. You can get the documents online. You might have to pay $20 if you know a notary. You know what I'm saying? Like, or if you know a notary, they may not charge you nothing. But if you might have to just go to a bank or wherever and just get a notary, $15, whatever the case is, it's a healthcare proxy. Just get that done. You know what I'm saying? And approach your parents with that. And then maybe after you get the healthcare proxy and they're now used to you, you know, okay, well, we did the healthcare proxy. It feels all right. Okay, and then now you can go, okay, well, let's talk about poverty. You know, let's talk about life insurance. Let's talk about estate planning, will planning. Like, these are conversations you can't all fit at once. We're doing this series in three parts. You can't give this conversation to your parents all at once. Yeah. Well, let's talk about healthcare policy. Well, let's talk about power of attorney. Well, let's talk about life insurance. Well, let's talk about will, estate planning. Yeah. They're going to be like, bro, like,
And here's something, too. Don't project your fears on your parents. They got enough to worry about. These people have been fearing your life for the majority of your life, and now here you come turning around trying to fear for theirs. Knock it off. Okay? Stop. Mm-hmm. Please, again, understand who's the boss. Right? Like, stop. You have to be able to have those level of conversations. Small doses. You start off in the beginning. Hey, mom, have you ever thought about, you know, like, do you have a will? No, I don't have a will. Have you ever thought about creating one? Oh, I thought about it. I'll get to it eventually. You know, you can do a healthcare proxy. You don't have to worry about the will yet, right? The healthcare proxy is just dictating what happens if you become incapacitated. Oh, I'm fine. I know you're fine. Mm-hmm. If you get hit by a bus one day walking to church and something goes wrong, I can step in and say, don't do this, don't do that. And maybe that's how you start. But I'm going to keep saying it again. Do not, under no circumstances, barge in on your parents. Start telling them what to do. You will understand at that point that they're still your parents. So you're going to learn today. I promise you that. You're going to learn today that your parent is still your parent. The second thing to understand is the terminology that you're using with your parents, they may not know. Money, death, all these things, they fear. So if you start walking in, talking about power of attorney and, you know, the healthcare proxy and a will and a trust and your estate and your bank accounts, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's all they're going to hear. So you have to dumb it down, not only for yourself, because you're not an expert, but also for them. And if when in doubt, you take them to an expert and let them, who are professionally trained, explain it. Because, again, it's not your pride that matters. What matters is doing the best that you can for your parents so that they go out comfortably and that you also as a person have less stress at the end so you can mourn them comfortably.
Right. Right. And I see in the comments, I see 18 Karen, shout out to Inga. She said, they hate to hear tomorrow's not promised. That's a fact. Like, they hate to hear all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they absolutely hate to hear things like that, because it's cliche, and even though it's true, they don't want to. They know that they've been hearing that before they birthed you.
Think about this, right? To everybody who's watching, remember how you felt the first time you heard that someone you love died.
Mm-hmm.
That shit woke you up, didn't it?
Mm.
Remember, you was young and dumb, running around having fun, right? And then you get that phone call that someone you love died and you're showing up to their funeral. And you go home and you say, damn, man, I'm going to appreciate life. And 2 years later, 2 months later, you're doing the same stupid shit you used to do. But that first time you encountered death, it made you think. Your parents, if they're 65, 70, have been encountering death for the majority of their life. So even if they don't want to hear about tomorrow, they know it's there. And these conversations to them feel like it's speeding up the process. So again, do not barge in and start telling your parents about death and telling your parents what's going to happen and telling them that they need to do this and telling them that they need to do that. I have a woman over my shoulders who gladly told me, get the hell out and I will talk to you when I feel like it. That's how this works.
And it's true. And my brother put in the comments, which is true, like, most of your parents think they will be able to give consent when they're sick. And a lot of times that's just not true. Like, sometimes I've been in multiple situations where stuff hits the fan and they couldn't give consent.
Yeah, and there's nothing they can do. They can't sign anything. They can't talk. They can't speak. They can't blink. They can't nothing.
nothing. And then the doctor's looking at you. So you got that paperwork, bro? And you're like, nah, but, you know, it's my mom. You know what I mean? Nah, I'm here.
And that's
well, then you can just take a seat in the waiting room and we'll be right with you.
Yeah. Have a seat. Sit down. And we'll tell you how we're going to do this. And, right. You know, you hope that they take the Hippocratic Oath seriously. You hope that they do the best. We're not saying that these people are assholes. What I'm saying is when your parent goes to the hospital, they're a patient. When you see your parent in the hospital, they're your parent.
They're your parent.
Going to love your parent more than you. No one's going to love your guardian more than you, your aunt more than you, your older generation more than you, your grandparent more than you. Mm-hmm. So these are the conversations. They may be pissed off at you when you have them. It's fine to be pissed off in those conversations, but at least you tried. At least you tried. Again, healthcare proxy is a win, folks. That's a win. If you can get a healthcare proxy and while you're in the will, you know, you get the power of attorney thing situated, okay, all right, I'll take it. After that,
it's unnecessary. And I think, and look, you know, the one thing I'll say is, you know, we're coming to the time. I know you got things to do. You're a busy guy. And, you know, but this month is financial literacy month. And we're sitting here talking about this. Like, you know, I could be having a different conversation with Joel right now about financial literacy. You know what I'm saying? About different things, how, you know, I call them for a lot of different things. But nevertheless, we feel like this conversation is needed for our community. You know what I'm saying? Because we want you guys to be healthy and we want you guys to have things prepared administratively. Because you deal with a lot when you have a sick parent emotionally and mentally.
Yes.
And we just want you guys to be really just prepared even for your own circumstances in life that could or could not arrive. But at least we have the peace of mind to know that if something does arrive, hey, this paperwork in place.
Yes.
And I'm going to be taken care of. You know, and, you know, next week, you know, we'll get into wills. We're going to get into estate planning.
Yep.
Because those things go a lot, you know, as far as care and you know, certain things. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you have that estate in place and why it's important to get that done early. So that you can get a certain level of care when you get sick.
Right.
Like, that's super important when you have your estate in order. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you get an estate when you're sick and you've already been in, it's null and void. You know what I'm saying? To a certain degree. So having these things set up and in place so that your mom, your dad, your grandparents can get the care that they really need. You know what I'm saying? And be able to qualify for the things, the different grants, different things that they can get.
Yeah.
Right? Without the extra stuff. Because if there are certain things that's in your bank account within 5 years, you're not gonna be able to be, you know what I'm saying, eligible for a lot of different things. And that's super important. You know what I'm saying? But nevertheless, we'll get into that in conversation three. Joel, appreciate you, brother. As always, appreciate you having this conversation with me. And we'll be back again next week to do our final episode of this series. That's your fault. You know what I mean? You got me to do this with you this time around. So I definitely appreciate that.
I'm just putting it out there, just for the record. You can blame me, but this woman over my shoulders is making sure I'm doing it. So, like, this is outside. Again, I am not the boss. I'm the consigliere. Yeah. When someone tells me to do something, when the boss tells me to do something, you do it.
And he knows whenever he called me for something, I got him. You know what I'm saying? So you call me for this, you know, definitely incredible woman, very inspiring man. And, you know, appreciate everybody for really tuning in up with us. I hope you guys have got something from this. That's the only reason why we're sitting here doing this is because we want you guys to get something out of it and cultivate conversations that we're not having in our community, but we should be having. And we're going to get on our final conversation next week. And we'll go from there. You know what I'm saying? But Joel, I appreciate you, bro.
Absolutely.
Until next time, until next week, brother. Appreciate you, bro.
Absolutely.
And I'll see y'all soon.
Stay safe, people.